Crystal Faulkner, and this is Business Wise. My guests today are Dwayne Harmon and Kent Wellington. Dwayne is the founder of a nonprofit called Cincinnati Triple Threat, and Kent, who I've known quite a long time, is the chair of the litigation department at Graydon Head, which is a law firm in Cincinnati. But Ken, you're also the chair of the Cincinnati Youth Collaboratives Board.
Right.
And that's what we're here to talk about today, a really fun thing that the two of you have collaborated on called Dribblethon. That's occurring on Saturday, May the 17th. Dwayne, this triple threat was kind of a scary term. It's your idea. You founded this organization, but maybe you can explain to everyone why triple threat is not a bad thing. It's really a good thing.
Well, no, in basketball, triple threat is the skills that you have for basketball. So it's nothing negative. And Kent can elaborate on triple threat, you know, what the three threats for basketball is, because he's a basketball player. It's just a sports-oriented group. And my oldest son actually came up with it.
Okay.
Because he had heard of some other organizations with basketball. So, no, we're a threat to the kids to make them better in life.
And maybe you can talk about the kids that you're benefiting here.
Yeah, we're in our 10th year, and our 10th annual Dribblethon is on May 17th, and it's part of a larger Saturday Hoops program. So every Saturday from January through mid-May, we have over 215 kids in a program that really tries to do some positive role modeling. And we use basketball, a little art, and we feed them lunch each Saturday to incentivize them to come back.
And these kids are what the age group?
Well, it's generally third through eighth grade, but we really take any kids.
So these children are still very impressionable. They're still forming their attitudes about all kinds of things.
Yes, ma'am.
And so what you guys are doing, the positive that you're doing in terms of bringing people, adult role models down there so that these children can be exposed to these folks is just fabulous.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And the other part about that is we're also bringing those people from other communities and letting them learn some things about other people.
Absolutely.
That they can share in life.
How wonderful
too.
These children are. Let's talk about the actual day of the event. Again, it's May 17th. What happens on that day?
Well, I tell you, it is a big street celebration.
Yes,
we have three-on-three tournaments. We roll in the basketball courts. It's on 14th Street, right next to Music Hall, catty corner from Washington Park. There's bands, there's art, and we give 350 basketballs away to the first 350 kids who show up.
And so can children, adults alike, just come watch, participate? How can people out there listening help?
Yeah, there's no pre-registration. All you need to do is show up. It's from 10:30 to 1 o'clock on May 17th in Washington Park, and we will either put you to work as a volunteer, a coach, or you can interact and play.
And what's the contact information if someone wants to learn more?
We've got a Saturday Hoops Dribblethon Facebook page, or you can go to saturdayhoops@twc.com email address for more information.
Or what's your telephone number if somebody wants to call you?
513-484-2812.
And Dwayne?
Mine is 513-557-9452.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for this great work that you're doing to help our kids. And thank you for listening to Business Wise. I'm Crystal Faulkner. I'm with Cooney Faulkner and Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is Business Wise. My guests today are Kent Wellington and Dwayne Harmon. Kent is the chair of the litigation department at Graydon Head, which is a law firm downtown Cincinnati. And Dwayne is the founder of a nonprofit called Cincinnati Triple Threat, which, Dwayne, is a basketball term from
yes,
what I've
is.
Come to learn.
Yes, it is.
Let's talk about how and why you founded Triple Threat, Dwayne.
Well, growing up in the inner city myself, Neil Crosley Field, if anybody knows about Cincinnati, Neil Crosley Field, you know, sports was something that geared us from negative things in life. So growing up in life, I've seen what sports can do. So we took basketball as a drawing point for kids to come out and get the things that we're trying to impress upon them in life.
And how long have you had this nonprofit?
We've had it, I would say, probably about 12 years, but I've done it for 30 years with the Friars Club.
That's
in Cincinnati,
great.
And what happened is I just wanted to bring it down to the inner city where these kids can afford it.
That's wonderful. And Kent, you, I know, have done amazing work with mentoring and your role as the chair of the Cincinnati Youth Collaborative, which is a fabulous organization. The CYC is now partnering with Dwayne, and
correct.
We're putting on an event called Dribblethon, and it's Saturday, May 17th between 10:30 and 1 o'clock down close to Washington Park?
Correct. We're real excited. You know, this year, Saturday Hoops and Dribblethon are now a program of the Cincinnati Youth Collaborative, more of the collaborative nature of that organization. And it's really an exciting program because the kids come out, they get to play a little basketball. We've added an art component in recent years. And with the Saturday Hoops program that runs January through May, we also have two speakers each week that really impress upon the kids all the positive outlets that are out there, as well as job opportunities.
Well, and we all know that a lot of the kids that Dwayne's mentioning down in the urban core, some of the more economically disadvantaged zip code school districts, they're not always exposed to positive role models. So this is a wonderful event where these kids can come out and learn. They can participate with each other. They can collaborate with each other. It takes a team.
Yes, it does.
So if people listening today are interested in just coming out for a fun day, which they can, they don't have to be able to play basketball, right?
Right.
Right.
You're looking for people to participate in what ways?
Coming out and volunteer, interact with the kids. You can help serve some food. There'll be music. There'll be three-on-three tournaments. And what we really want people to do is just to come on out and meet these kids and spend a few minutes, as we tell our coaches each week, and just look these kids in the eye and tell them how great they are.
You know, these kids, we have our Accounting for Kids program. We're in the schools as well. And these children look at you with big, bright smiles. They have their light in their eyes. I mean, they just want so much to have that kind of interaction. So, folks, if you are listening, if there's any way you can make some time on May 17th from 10:30 to 1 to go down to Dribblethon, it would be a wonderful thing. And if people would like more information, what's the contact?
You can go to our Saturday Hoops Facebook page or SaturdayHoops@TWC.com via email. Or you can give Dwayne a call.
And that's at 513-557-9452. And if you want to email me, you can email me at d55harmon@gmail.com.
Gentlemen, thank you for everything you're doing for our kids in the community. And thank you for listening to Business Wise. I'm Crystal Faulkner. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Dan Finnessy. Dan is a co-founder and partner at 779, which is a full-service video production and post-production company. And Dan, maybe you can just start by telling us a little bit about 779, what exactly you do as a full-service video production facility.
We handle all things video. So it can be anything from commercials that run on television, to web video, to product demonstrations, corporate video, anything that's video related. We expanded into 3D animation and motion graphics as well. And we can work in any part of the process. If, you know, we can take it from concept development to scripting all the way through production and editing, and we can step in at any point in the process as well.
Well, nowadays you see so many companies have videos on their websites. I assume you do some of that as well for websites?
Correct. And we actually do a lot of that. I think that video on a website, it's kind of like what websites were back in the 90s. You know, it first came out, it was like, oh, a website would be nice. And now if you don't have a website, you're not really considered a real business. And I think that video is kind of starting to become that way. It's gone from being sort of a marketing luxury to a marketing necessity.
Yes, especially depending on the demographics of the audience you're trying to capture. I think video is their most immediate means of communication.
Correct. Yeah, I like to say that you know, you can either give somebody a brochure or some text and hope that they read it, or you can send them a video and let them hit play and watch it. And most people are probably going to hit play and sit back and watch a video rather than read a bunch of text.
I'm sure that's right. How did you come up with the name 779 when you were naming your company?
My business partner and I were both born in July of 1979. So we were trying to come up with a name for the company, and we thought, well, that's interesting. That has a kind of a nice ring, and it's always a conversation starter.
How long have you been in business now?
Full-time since the beginning of 2010. We've been a business since about 2005, but for many years it was a night and weekend and a hobby kind of thing, and then eventually people started offering to pay us to do video, and that's why in 2010 we quit our day jobs and went full-time and have been doing it ever since.
It's nice that you also started out when you were first full-time, you were in an incubator. Now you have your own space, don't you?
Correct. Yeah, we started out at the Hamilton County Business Center in Norwood. We had our office there for several years, and it's a great program. I mean, it really helped us kind of get over a lot of the hurdles that new businesses start. We've recently moved down to a new office in Over the Rhine. So,
well, what advice could you give somebody that you wished had been given to you when you started your business that you think would be helpful?
Have thick skin. Not everything's going to work the way that you want it to. Some things will turn out completely different, but better. But just have thick skin and don't take things too personally, because some things will fail too. Some ideas that you pursue won't work, and that's okay. Don't be afraid of failing and you know, don't be afraid if things kind of take a weird turn.
Well, if you haven't failed every once in a while, then you probably haven't tried hard enough to do things.
Exactly.
Well, Dan, thanks for your time today. For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Dan Finnessy. Dan is a co-founder and partner at 779, which is a full-service video production and post-production company. And Dan, I know that you started your business, well, you worked part-time for a while, but on a full-time basis, you've been in business since 2010. What are some of the greatest lessons that you've learned from starting your own business?
I would say the biggest lesson that I've learned is to just get out there. You really have to get out there and meet as many people as possible. That's just really the best way to start building a client base. I have absolutely no math to back this up, but if I had to guess, when I did cold calls, for example, I probably made 100 calls, and out of 100 calls, talked to 10 people and got one meeting. And out of every four or five meetings, maybe one piece of business out of it. So it really is kind of, you really just have to get out there and meet people, meet as many people as possible.
Well, and eventually it gets easier, doesn't it? Because you've met those people maybe a year or 2 years or 3 years ago, and now they're ready to start their project and they think of you.
Right. And it does get a lot easier too, because, you know, when you start going to a lot of the events, you start to, you know, people there now. When you first go and you don't know anybody and you're just trying to meet everybody in the room, and now it's like, oh, hey, I know so-and-so.
Well, and it's nice to develop a customer base where you can get repeat business from customers as well, isn't it?
Yes. Repeat business is the best.
What advice would you give to people who maybe are thinking about starting a business but don't know whether they should or not?
Have a plan. Make sure you have a very solid plan of what you want to do and how you want to get there, and then don't be afraid to jump off the cliff, so to speak.
Well, and even when you have a plan, I'm sure things change. And in your business in particular, I would think technology impacts you all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah, technology changes very frequently in video. I mean, a good example is, you know, the equipment that we use now for editing. You know, a good editing system now would have cost 10 times as much just 20 years ago. And so the technology keeps changing, but in video, it's changing for the better, because the barriers of entry are dropping considerably because of technology changes.
Of course, that's a good thing and a bad thing, right? It's easier for people to get into the business.
That's true. You know, I think that YouTube has done a very good job of not only making everybody think that they're a filmmaker, but at the same time, kind of drawing a very clear line between what is good quality production and what's kind of homemade and DIY.
Well, if people do want to see what is good quality production or get some more information about your company, what's the best place to contact you?
The best place would be to go to our website, and our website is 779video.com, and that's just the numbers 779video.com.
Well, Dan, thanks for that great information. For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Dan Finnessy. Dan is a co-founder and partner at 779, which is a full-service video production and post-production company. And Dan, I know you've been in business for a few years now, and your company does videos not just for film commercials, but also in many cases for companies for their websites or for information for their customer base. What are some of the interesting projects you've worked on recently?
We recently did a series of five videos for and I'm not allowed to name the actual company, but all I can say is it was a very popular product from the 1980s and 1990s that's coming back. They're bringing it back to the market. And we did a series of five videos to help relaunch that product. And it was a huge shoot. We shot over the course of 2 days in a classroom. And over the course of those 2 days, we had 30 kids that came on and off set. You know, the classroom itself was empty, so we had to decorate it like it was a classroom actually in use. And it was a lot of fun, but it was a very challenging shoot as well.
And when you do a project like that, do you sort of design the whole set and as well as film everything?
Yes. For that one, we hired an art director who could then kind of take the direction, like we say, okay, this is the stuff that we're looking for. This is what we need you to go out and find. And then that person goes out and finds all the props and everything that goes on the wall and the school supplies and everything else.
So you have to make an empty room look like a classroom.
Exactly. Or at least one little corner of it.
Yeah. Now, will that video be shown on television as a commercial, or is it going to be on a website? Or
those are all going to be online. We're going to be hosted on YouTube and then pushed out through this company's social media channels.
And are those typical, the types of projects you do where companies are doing that to advertise in some online fashion?
It's a very big chunk of what we do. A lot of companies are moving more in that general direction. It's you can find an audience much more cost effectively online. You know, it used to be if you did video, you had to have a huge budget to buy airtime on television. And television is still key to any kind of broad marketing campaign, but uploading something to YouTube is free.
Right. So. And pretty effective. You can get your message across a lot easier, I think, using video.
Right. It's always on.
Well, Dan, if people want more information about 779, what's your contact information?
The best place would be to go to our website, and our website is 779video.com, and it's just the numbers, 779.
Well, Dan, thanks for that great information. For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Tom Cooney, and this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Mary Ida Compton. Mary Ida is the current president of the Ohio Ecological Food and Farm Association, but she's here today to talk to us about the Hyde Park Farmers Market. And I guess it's getting to be that time of year because it's about to open again, isn't it?
It is. May 18th is our opening day.
And the farmers market has, it seems, a real bent towards natural foods and organically raised foods. I assume that's a theme that you try to accomplish.
Right. We constantly strive to encourage our growers to grow using organic methods, those that would be required if you were going to be certified. Some of them are certified organic. And for the meat producers, we like to find meat producers who are raising their animals under methods consistent with what's known as certified humane.
Well, I've been a frequent customer of the market for the last several years. How did the market actually get started in Hyde Park?
I was newly in town from California and came across Judy Williams, who was hoping to start a market in Hyde Park and had actually been working with the Neighborhood Association. I joined Judy sort of midstream for her, and together we were able to encourage a group of growers to come to market. We found a spot for the market, a site in the U.S. Bank parking lot. They were brave enough to give us some space on Sunday mornings, and we managed to get enough people to start to get a market going 10 years ago.
And now you're no longer in the parking lot at U.S. Bank. You're right in Hyde Park Square. Why did you move to the center of the square?
Well, we were growing so much, and the business association thought it would be really great to have the market happen on the square. They realized that we had a lot of people coming through market, and it was quite a community event, and it would also have a little benefit to the businesses, having people get that exposure.
Well, and I think it's been a great success. When you come back tomorrow, maybe we can talk about some of the special market days you're going to have this year. For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Mary Ida Compton. Mary Ida is the current president of the Ohio Ecological Food and Farm Association and also one of the founders of the Hyde Park Farmers Market. And Mary Ida, the market's going to start here May 18th, and it goes, what, through the end of, is it November?
Through the end of October.
Through the end of October, every Sunday on Hyde Park Square. And are there any special days this year that you have that people should make a special determination to come?
Well, we always have a special event, and you can hear about those if you're on the email list. You can sign up for the email list either at the market or shooting an email through the website to one of us. But June 1st, we're having Capriole Cheese come to us, who they were a vendor a few years ago, and we love their goat cheeses, but they were unable to come on a regular basis. So they're going to come and help us celebrate our 10-year anniversary on June 1st. So that's something not to miss.
Well, what brings, because I go to the market and I see lots of people there as customers as well as vendors, what brings all these people to the market? What's so special about it?
A couple of things. One is just the sense of community. You get out there and you see people you wouldn't normally bump into. It doesn't have to do with your religion or your soccer team affiliation, but it's a neighborhood event. The other is it's full of new food that you wouldn't find elsewhere. We try to be diverse and expand on what you can see at Kroger's. The growers are always encouraged to have diversity, and they know how to cook these things. They're beautiful, they're fresh, they're grown without the use of chemicals, and you'll find them delicious.
And how do you attract the vendors to the market?
The vendors are there because they realize that this is a great opportunity. It's a collegial environment, and we encourage the vendors to work together. We also try to ensure that each vendor isn't competing against each other, but working with each other, and try to moderate the supply and demand so that everyone can make a good living. And I think they really enjoy the people that come to market.
Well, it's a great atmosphere. Mary Ida, if people want more information, what's the contact?
HydeParkFarmersMarket.com is the website address, and that's the best way to reach us.
Well, Mary Ida, thanks for being our guest today on Business Wise. For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Mary Ida Compton. Mary Ida is the current president of the Ohio Ecological Food and Farm Association and also one of the founders of the Hyde Park Farmers Market. And Mary Ida, the farmers market is going to open soon. What are some of the new vendors that we can look forward to seeing this year?
So this year we'll have three new vendors. We have Owl Creek Bison, which will bring you bison meat. They're from south of Columbus. Another one is Probasco Mushrooms. They're growing mushrooms in Northside. We'll have oyster mushrooms and others locally grown. And we also have a new Italian vendor, My Artisano Foods. They make cheeses and dry pastas and some oven-ready pasta dishes.
You know, it seems like there's a real orientation to healthy and, I guess, healthily raised, if that's a good term, food, like organic food.
Right. Yes, that's our focus.
And you also have some pretty unique vendors. I know when I go to the market, I'm always amazed at the line I see by the, what is it, the Blue Oven. Blue Oven Bread Company.
Right. Right. They're a special vendor, and people seem to travel miles for that bread. And they're most happy to wait in line, which is interesting. I was concerned that there was too long of a line at one time and tried to hand out a numbering system so people could shop while they were waiting for their number to come up. But folks really like standing in line and meeting somebody new, either in front or behind them in the Blue Oven line.
Yeah, it's not a place you go to where you want to get something quickly, is it? I mean, people go, they walk around. A lot of people have their dogs with them, and they socialize as well as shop.
Right, exactly. This is not the drive-through.
No, and it's but there's fun things to do. There's fun foods. There's all those healthy foods, but you probably are going to have the waffles again this year.
The waffles are looking forward to being there, and they have crepes, which are maybe slightly healthier than the waffles. You could try those.
Sounds great. Well, Mary Ida, if people want more information about the Hyde Park Farmers Market, what's the contact info?
They should go to the website, which is HydeParkFarmersMarket.com. And remember that we're open 9:30 to 1:30 every Sunday, starting May 18th through the end of October.
Well, Mary Ida, thanks for being our guest. I'm looking forward to going to the market myself. For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guest today is David Goodwin. David is co-founder and managing partner of Advanced Technology Consulting, Inc., which is an independent telecom agency and consulting firm. And David, you've been in the telecom business for 25 years. I assume you've seen a lot of changes over that period of time. What are some of the trends that you're seeing now in telecom?
The trends today would be more toward everything being data, meaning that phone calls are now becoming voice over IP or voice over internet protocol. So you're seeing voice now become data. You're seeing that people are doing all kinds of things out in the cloud, whether it be like Salesforce.com or other hosted services. If you have an iPhone or a smartphone, you probably have lots of different applications that you've downloaded, and people are consuming a lot more bandwidth. I just read an article this morning about, they're talking about younger generations now typically not watching TV, but rather video streaming things to their iPhones or iPads or some like technology.
I can vouch for that, having an 18-year-old daughter. I think she gets all of her quote-unquote television watching through her computer.
Very common. My kids the same way.
Well, David, when we moved into our current office building 7 or 8 years ago, we looked at phone systems and actually did not do the voice over internet at that time. I assume a lot's changed in that 7 or 8 year period, and it's a lot more common now.
You're absolutely correct. Back in that 6, 7 years ago, that's when we got heavily into it. There were a lot of voice quality concerns and issues. Bandwidth was a lot more expensive, meaning internet bandwidth that you need in order to have good quality voice conversations. You've seen the technology come a long way. So as a result, yes, you've seen some of the problems of the past now be cleared up and it be more commercially acceptable.
If you do have an old phone system that goes on the old telephone lines, why would you consider a voice over IP?
Several reasons. If you're trying to integrate multiple offices on one platform so that you can transfer calls by skill set or transfer calls to the appropriate location or be able to dial by extension rather than having long distance charges for those that might be out of state or long distance, it's very scalable. If you were to add 1, 2, 10, 20 employees, those phones come pre-configured. You essentially just plug them in. They're almost maintenance-free, meaning that you don't have to have the truck rolls, call your phone company, have them come out, move this extension, move that line. There's disaster recovery or business continuity that is inherently built into the solutions. And another thing is that it incorporates your cell phones, which are becoming obviously the way that people are communicating more and more today. So those would be a handful right off the cuff.
Well, David, thanks for that great information. For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is David Goodwin. David is co-founder and managing partner of Advanced Technology Consulting, which is an independent telecom agency and consulting firm. And David, we hear a lot about everything, it seems, is moving to the cloud, and that includes phone systems now through the voice over internet protocol. Are you seeing a lot of businesses move their systems to the cloud?
Lots. And it's not just the small company, it's not just the big company. I mean, more and more firms today are moving to voice over IP. There are a lot of inherent advantages built into voice over IP. We've been selling it for probably 7 years. And the last couple of years, we experienced about 60% growth. And most of that is attributed to the fact that so many people are looking at what can we do with our phone system beyond just making phone calls, answering phone calls, and checking voicemail, but rather what else can this business tool do for us?
It's been around for a while. At this point, is there any concern about reliability? Is it less reliable or more reliable than traditional phone systems?
That's a great question, because if it's done incorrectly or it's done wrong, some companies that are of the mindset that they want to do it themselves. And it's kind of like you pay now or you pay later. You can either pay now and get somebody to help you to do it right. And if you get those parties, yeah, you shouldn't have any problem. Most of our customers, by the time we walk out that day, it's working as it should. Now, they may choose to go off script and make some changes. Like, oh, we didn't want it to ring here. We want it to ring there. And we want these three phones ringing when we said we wanted those five. And so that's some of the nice part about the system is your ability to kind of change things on the fly.
But in terms of reliability, in terms of connections, that works just as well as the traditional phone system?
Absolutely. If done right, you should notice no difference. As a matter of fact, a lot of the phones are HD phones. HD audio is much like HD video in the fact that the sound is much clearer, much like HD video. Video is much clearer. So you're seeing voice over IP quality sometimes equal to or better than what people are accustomed to with a legacy phone system.
Boy, it's kind of scary. I don't want anybody getting a video of me just because I called them.
Well, that would come down to whether you elected for a video phone. Most people still don't go that route just because of how expensive each individual handset is. We're not seeing that many video phones. We see more of a group video setup, meaning like in a conference room or a video room or something like that.
Sure. I could see where there'd be a lot of functionality to have a conference using video.
Sure. I mean, you just keep your airline travel down. You can do it impromptu. You don't burn a whole day in travel. So yes, those rooms for people that might travel a lot, especially the ones that travel internationally, obviously the payback period for them is much shorter.
Aren't you able to transport your numbers pretty easily from one phone to another in those types of systems?
Theoretically, yes. The losing provider will sometimes find any reason to slow things down. Your I wasn't dotted correctly. Your T wasn't crossed quite right. But yes, it is set up so that the numbers move and there aren't any problems. That's kind of been vetted all the way back since the portability of toll-free numbers back in, I think it was like 1993 or so.
Well, David, if people listening want more information about VOIP or any telecom matters, really, what's the best way to contact you?
They can contact me direct if they like, 513-323-1122. And obviously, we're happy to send people to our website so that they can get a little more information on us and what we've done and why they might select us as opposed to doing themselves. And that website is www.4atc.com.
Well, David, thanks for that great information. For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.